Hey there, and welcome back to my podcast. I hope you're having a really nice day so far, and you are here and ready to go to cover this topic. This episode is, as you can tell by the title, is going to be about exercise addiction, and I'm going to give you some strategies that you can use to begin to heal your relationship to exercise and stop being as obsessed with it, just like it says on the tin. That's exactly what we're going to do today. So I wanted to first start off on, well, let me give you a bit of a rundown on how this episode's going to go. So we're going to start off with what exercise addiction is, what exercise is and isn't. So we'll talk like about what different types of movement are, because I think that's like quite important to establish. And we'll talk about some reasons you might want to stop exercising as much. And then I'll also give you some strategies to stop being as obsessed with exercise. So that's our theme for today. If there's anything you feel like I've missed, you know, please let me know and I can record a part two of this episode, because exercise addiction is a really huge topic and I want to make sure, you know, I do it justice and talk about everything I wanted to in this episode. So, like I said, let's start off with what exercise addiction really is. So, exercise addiction is, you could also call it like compulsive exercise, you could call it being like in a bad relationship to exercise. It's basically having a relationship with exercise where it becomes like really impactful on your life in a negative way. People with disordered relationships with food can have difficult relationships to exercise. Not all of them do. Some people who struggle with food and body stuff, some of them don't struggle with exercise. I certainly know many, many people who have, you know, eating disorders or disordered eating. And exercise like doesn't really come into the picture, either because it's not really something they focus on, or just because like it never became part of their disordered eating. So sometimes, like if people have disordered eating, like sometimes exercise just doesn't even play a role. And for some people, it plays a really big role. Now, there are certain people who are more likely to struggle with exercise. And it's not so much like set types of disordered eating. Like it's not like restrictive eaters or binge eaters or people who struggle with purging. Like it's not so much like a type of disordered eating. I think it's more like scenarios that can happen. So I tend to see people who struggle with exercise if they're someone who has been like sporty in the past, maybe before the onset of their disordered eating, or as they were developing disordered eating, they also got into movement and exercise. So, you know, if someone is from maybe a family of people who are really fit and people who move a lot, like people who, you know, like a sporty family, like some families are like sporty, right? Like some families, you know, are always walking together, or they would go on holidays where they do a lot of exercise together. You know, things like hill walking or hiking, people who go skiing as a family, people who go on holidays where they go on lots of walks, maybe families where you do like park runs together, or you play sports together, right? Like on the weekend, like if you play tennis or badminton on the weekend, you know, those kind of things. People who struggle with exercise might be from a background where exercise has played a big role, which makes a lot of sense, right? It's kind of like when people struggle with food, they are maybe from a family where food had a big role. Not always, right? But that could be something that happens. I also see people becoming really obsessed with exercise when exercise has been like a big, it's almost been like an entry point into disordered relationships with food and body. So this can happen when someone, I see it a lot when people maybe join a gym for the first time. So maybe, you know, people join a gym for the first time because they say, you know, they want to be like healthier. They want to maybe engage in like health behaviors. And then all of a sudden, before they know it, they're exercising, you know, however many times per week, because actually you don't need to be exercising every day to have a difficult relationship with exercise. It could be like once or twice a week, right? It doesn't have to be every day. No, you know, you can also really be struggling with exercise and your relationship to it and not even be someone who moves on a regular basis, which we'll get into. But anyway, sometimes people can struggle with exercise because it's their entry point into disorder. So if people join a gym because they go in with good intention of like, I want to move more, I want to feel like more active and able to move, they can almost have that as like a, what do you call it, like a gateway, right, into disorder, because maybe as they do that, they become more engaged in like gym culture, and they become more engaged with, let's say they maybe seek out like a personal trainer who gives them like a food plan or measures them or weighs them or something. Doesn't always go alongside that, but even just being in like a gym environment, like it's quite body focused, actually a lot body focused. And I think even just being in the mindset of trying to meet personal bests and trying to lift more weights and run faster and be able to kind of push yourself and move for longer, all of these things can lead to a difficult relationship with exercise. And then the final point I'll talk about, which is one I just told you about, is the idea that you can have a difficult relationship to exercise but not actually be exercising. Because I meet a lot of people who maybe they actually don't exercise at all, like on, you know, how you have these kind of activity skills. Maybe there's someone who's more like sedentary, as in they really don't, you know, exercise routinely or on a regular basis at all, but they still like really struggle with the idea that they feel like they should be moving. And in literature, as in like in research and more like academic spaces, you could call this like exercise avoidance. But actually, sometimes I find that people who are really struggling with thinking that they should exercise or feeling like, oh, I should really move more or I should really do more, you can almost feel like you spend a lot of energy thinking about moving and thinking about exercise, but actually not like following through with it. So that's also something that happens. So you can kind of be thoughts-wise addicted to exercise, but not actually doing it. So I think that's a kind of whole separate episode in itself. But definitely, if you're someone who feels that way, I think some of the ways I talk about in this episode should be helpful for you too. So yeah, that's kind of, I guess, the 411 on compulsive exercise. Basically, I do think that if you struggle with exercise and exercise addiction, you probably already know how it presents, and you're probably someone who knows why it developed in you. And I think that you probably just want some strategies to cope with it and to feel better around exercise. So obviously there are loads of tangents from this topic. There's like, you know, how can I exercise without it becoming obsessive? You know, should I exercise when I'm healing in disordered eating recovery? There's loads of different topics, so I'm not going to be able to answer all the questions in this episode. I'm really just going to focus on kind of easing compulsive exercise. And I think that's all I want to cover in this kind of 411 about it. What else I'll say is some of the signs that you're addicted to exercise we're going to go through, because I have a compulsive exercise kind of self-quiz. So we're going to go through that in a second. But what I will say is, you know, I always like to talk about the roots of things, because the leaves, you know, I always talk about the tree analogy, the leaves of compulsive exercise. You know, if you imagine a tree, there's the leaves, there's the trunk, and then there's the roots. The leaves of compulsive exercise is like being committed to a schedule and being able to motivate yourself, having energy, feeling like you can, feeling like you're on top of the world, right? When you can run for longer or lift heavier or whatever. And then the trunk of that is really like, what does that say about you as a person? So it's like you're dedicated, you're motivated, you're a good person, right? You get praise for your exercise, you get a sense of like community and validation. And then the roots of that might be something like, you know, if we talk about running, it could be running from emotions, right? Running from what you're feeling and using running to cope with emotions rather than sitting with emotions, right? So as you like try to heal your relationship to exercise, you could be thinking about your tree analogy. So what do people see about your relationship to exercise, which is the leaves? What could also be true, which is the trunks? And then what is the roots? So like what is what people see and what you believe further below the surface? Like what do all of those make? Does that make sense? I know that's kind of a long way of putting it, but basically thinking about what are the roots to why you might be compulsively exercising and why potentially you can't like rest, right? So I think that's always something to keep in your mind. Well, because like really, if you want to heal your relationship to exercise, it's not so much you want to be able to have more rest days or you want to be able to feel like less obsessed with exercise. It's probably more a deeper thing. Like you want to be able to cope with your emotions without going for a run, or you want to be able to eat a meal without feeling like you need to plan a workout, or you want to be able to spend time with your friends and not be thinking when you're next gonna do a HIIT class, right? So think about what's deeper as we go through this. All right, I think that's it on the 411. Let's go into a little self-quiz that you can use to see if you're compulsively exercising. And like I said, it might be that you already know that you are, but let's just, you know, go through it for people who maybe aren't totally sure. And so this compulsive exercise test is actually from research. So it's from 2010. I think it's from 2010/11. And it's a, what do we call it? Like a validated tool, which basically means that it's been like tested in a research setting. I'll link a note to the paper and the quiz if you want to go through it yourself. But so this is in like an eating disorders review looking at compulsive exercise. And so this is the kind of self-quiz that was made from this. I think there's like 20 questions or something, so I won't go through all of them, but I'll go through the kind of main points that I think are really important when thinking about your relationship to exercise. And so the first one that I think is important is like, I feel happier and more positive after I exercise. And so it's on a scale from never to always, with like sometimes in the middle. Well, it's actually, so it's like never, rarely, sometimes, often, usually, and always. That's the scale that they use, so 6 points. So for our purposes, we'll just say never, sometimes, and always. So if you feel happier or more positive after exercise, I wouldn't be surprised, because as we know, exercise releases endorphins and like it makes you feel happy. What is tough is when that's the only thing that makes you feel good, or it's also going alongside not feeling good. So if you know that you do not have the energy to run or do whatever movement you're doing, but it's the only way that you can have like happiness or positivity, that's when it becomes a problem, right? Another question is, I exercise to improve my appearance. So this is how it goes into like exercise being related to how you look, and exercise being a way that you maybe use to change your body. So obviously, I guess like, well, maybe not even not obviously, but like exercise in itself does change your appearance, but also like not really. You know, as we know, like all different body sizes and all different shapes and the way people look is very different based on people who exercise, right? So exercise doesn't even really necessarily change your appearance. And there's a lot of research done into people who regularly exercise, and actually they actually don't have like much weight change. So actually the link that we kind of hold and our like belief about exercise changing your body or isn't like necessarily even like true, which I always think is an interesting one. I'm kind of going to go through these a bit quicker now because I'm recognizing that you could actually just do this quiz yourself, and I'm recognizing that you're probably listening to this just wanting the strategies. So I'm actually just going to go through this quiz a bit quicker and you can do it yourself. You know, so some of the other components of this quiz about compulsive exercise is, you know, feeling less anxious when you exercise, feeling like exercise is a chore. This is a big one. Feeling like if you eat too much, you'll do more exercise. You know, that's really common if you use exercise as a compensatory behavior for eating certain foods or eating a certain amount of food. If your exercise pattern is like very repetitive, that can mean that you're really stuck in, you're almost stuck in it needing to be like the same thing all the time. Like it's almost like a set thing that you don't deviate from, and you're not kind of tuning into your body's needs that week. And then also you're not really changing how you exercise based on like what sounds good. So that might be a clue that you don't really have like a great connection to your body and what it needs. If you exercise to become thinner or change the way you look in any way, and of course this also like changing your body for exercise, I should say, like doesn't also mean to become thinner. It can also mean to become like leaner or more muscular, because not everyone who's obsessed with exercise might be doing it to become thin. They might be doing it to become bigger, as in more like muscular, or to lose fat. That's a really big one that I should have mentioned before. I think thinking about how you feel when you're not able to exercise as much is really important too. Like, do you feel guilty? Do you feel low, depressed? You know, do you exercise when you feel an injury or when you feel too ill? Do you enjoy exercise, right? Like, you know, if exercise is always grueling and awful, you're not going to enjoy it. But maybe there's like a part of you that feels like you do enjoy it and a part of you that doesn't, right? Do you exercise to burn calories or to make up for food? Do you feel irritable or agitated if you can't exercise? Do you worry that you're going to gain weight if you go a while without exercise? You know, do you feel frustrated if you can't exercise? These are all kind of signs that you're addicted to exercise. And again, you're probably not addicted to exercise. You're probably really focused on what it can do for you and what it kind of says about you as a person, right? That's like the kind of roots to this. And so that's a bit of an insight into a kind of assessment on exercise addiction. And let's now go into some of the strategies that you can use to feel better around exercise and to begin overcoming your exercise addiction, which that is probably what you came for, right? So let's dive into some of these. And if I miss any out and you're listening to this and you think, oh, I've tried this and that really worked for me, please do share with me. You can email me, which would just be shannon@easenutritiontherapy.com. Please do email me or DM me on Instagram, because I always want to like collate as much information as I can. So please do let me know if I miss anything out that you've tried and worked for you. So let's go into these 7 tips that I've made a note of and go through them. All right. So the first one is to vocalize your feelings around exercise with someone you feel comfortable with. So maybe it's someone that you like exercise with at the moment, or a friend or a partner or a parent. I think just like getting something out of you and into the world is like a really big part of healing from something. So maybe just vocalize how you feel about exercise. So any of the questions that I ran through with the compulsive exercise test, you can use any of those and just make it into a question. So one of the questions is, you know, I feel angry or irritable if I can't exercise. You can simply say, like, if I don't exercise, I feel really angry. And that is how I know I have a problem with it, right? So that can be like a really helpful thing to get the ball rolling on, you know, almost like admitting to yourself and others that you're struggling with this. Number two is listen to how you and your body are feeling and rest when you need to. So if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know that I always talk about this idea of disordered eating being a connection thing with yourself. So often when we have a difficult relationship with exercise, you are probably not totally connected to yourself and how you feel during exercise. And also exercising like kind of disconnects you further from yourself if you're already disconnected. You know, when you exercise, when you're feeling really connected and, you know, you are feeling like well nourished and you're feeling well hydrated and well rested and you don't have any injuries, exercise can feel really good. And it can be a way of like, exercise is almost like playful, right? So it can be a way of like connecting to how your body can move and what it feels like. But if you don't have any of those things, then you're kind of just like depleting your body, right? So listening to how your body feels is really important. And when you feel really exhausted or really tired, or like you just don't have any energy, then you should rest. And I know that rest is probably really difficult for you because, one, you've been told that you shouldn't rest. Two, disconnection from yourself pushes you not to rest. And then three, we're also like always told that exercise is really good for us, but exercise is only good for you if you're like able to do it. So if you're not nourished enough, if you're too tired, if you're sore, or if you're in a bad relationship to it, like it's okay not to exercise. So you want to work on that unconditional permission to rest. Just like you want to work, if you struggle with food, you know, you might want to work on your unconditional permission to eat. You also want to work on your unconditional permission to rest, right? And you can do that in so many ways. And I think that's a whole other episode. So I'll make sure to put that on my roster going ahead. The third one is, and this really works for like a big number of my clients, is if there's someone who they almost like punish themselves with exercise, but only when they're on their own. So they maybe go for like a run after work or go to the gym in the morning or go to like an exercise class on the weekend. One thing that can be really helpful for them is if they do genuinely enjoy exercise, they kind of make a promise to themselves that they're only going to do it with like friends or family. Maybe they go for a walk or a run, or they go to a yoga class or something, or do Pilates with them at home. That can really help people, like, and it also like makes exercise be like linked to connection. And so I don't think that you should only exercise with friends or family. Like, you should do other things with them too. But a really good way to overcome exercise addiction is to exercise with people that you really enjoy spending time with, you know, and then do something else with them, like have lunch or watch a film or whatever with them. But that's actually a really fun way to do it. And I have clients who really struggled with exercise addiction, and they started, for example, on a Saturday, the only time that they were going to exercise was going like to a park run, like on a Saturday with their friend, and then they would have lunch afterwards. And that was her, she kind of made peace that was going to be her time to exercise in the week. And then the rest, she would just kind of see how she felt. You see? So I think that could be a cool idea if you want to try that out. Number four would be do only the exercise you enjoy. So as you know, like everyone has different preferences for exercise. So you could figure out, do you like exercising alone or with people? Do you want it to be inside or outside? Do you want it to be like team sport or solo sport? Do you want to do it like at home or somewhere outside of the house? Think about what you want to wear when you exercise. how you want to feel before and after, right? Think about all of those things and then explore different sports or movement that you could do. And the thing is like movement can be anything. Movement doesn't need to just be like running or walking or lifting weights. Movement can be playing squash or shooting hoops, right? Like throwing baskets with a basketball, not even doing the running part, just doing like the shooting hoops, you know what I mean, like not doing the running part of basketball. It could be netball, it could be gymnastics, it could be yoga, that could be any type of yoga. Like it doesn't need to be hot yoga. It could be like yin yoga, which is like restorative poses that you do for like, you know, 5 minutes at a time. Can be any type of movement. It could even be like gardening or running after your kids. Can literally be anything. The next one is, you know, practice healthy attitudes towards exercise. I think this is really important if you're someone who like is on their feet most of the day. I know that people say that, I think the recommendation is, let me see if I can remember. I think it's 180 minutes of like exercise a week, like moderate exercise a week. If you're someone who, that's like the recommendation from like the government. If you're someone who maybe works in a job where you stand most of the day, like if you work in healthcare or retail or hospitality, like any job basically where you're not like sitting down most of the day, you are really like moving a lot. So really think about like your time that you're active, especially if you're in recovery. I know that sometimes people say that like just standing doesn't count as exercise. I'm not going to talk about that too much because I think it's like all quite nuanced. Like it depends on the person. But if you're someone who, let's say, works in a shop and you're in recovery, and you're on your feet for like 7 hours a day, I think that for sure counts as movement, and you should really be refueling appropriately because that burns a lot of energy, right? So try and practice healthy attitudes towards exercise and really check in with yourself, like, are you injured? Are you too tired to run? Are you too tired to exercise in general? And really focus on, like, will this exercise make me feel better or will it make me feel worse? Exercise should make you feel better than it did before you started. So one of my rules for exercise is, and you can use this and adapt it to how you feel. But for example, I live in a city. So whenever I exercise, I'm probably like walking to that place. So let's pretend that I go to the gym. I know that when I'm at the gym, I need to reserve, you know, let's say 20% of my energy because I need to walk home, and it's like a 20-minute walk home, and it's quite, you know, it's quite chaotic energy because it's in a city, it's like very busy. So I know that I need to keep like 20% in the tank. Like I can't be fully depleted, right? Because otherwise, one, I'm probably going to get in a fight with someone on the street and I don't want that. And then two, I'm just going to have like no energy to get home, and I'm going to feel terrible by the time I actually get home. Like it's going to feel like I'm completely like being hit by a bus, right? So think about how you need to feel after as well. Okay, and then the final two, so number six is, you know, I think part of all of this is like developing a good mindset with movement and thinking about how you want movement to be in your life and also how that equates to food. So I know that like food and movement are kind of intertwined because, you know, you want to be like fueling yourself adequately for movement. But I think other than that, you kind of want to separate like food and movement, because if they're really linked, it can mean that if you eat certain foods or maybe eat a certain way, you're going to feel like you need to compensate for movement, right? So kind of reevaluating your relationship with food and movement and how they're intertwined. And I think that's more kind of like long-term work, but think about that and how you want that to be. Okay. And then the final tip for overcoming exercise addiction, I think it's going to be like letting go of the pressure on yourself and understand that you need to kind of slow down and rest on your journey to recovery. So obviously I spoke about like unconditional permission to rest, but I think you also need to focus on relinquishing the pressure to overcome exercise addiction. So I have clients who, you know, I'm thinking about one client who really struggles with feeling like she needs to exercise all the time, and she's someone who really does not need to exercise anywhere close to how she feels. And she's someone who is struggling with hypothalamic amenorrhea, so she doesn't have a period, and she also wants to become pregnant, but she has a really big pressure on herself to rest. But that pressure that she holds on herself to rest makes her more likely to exercise, right? You see? So you almost need to, like, it's a kind of tricky balance, right? You need to almost focus on not exercising and also not focus on it too much. Because if you focus on it too much, you're going to get the, you know, the itchy feeling of the urge to exercise because you feel stressed about it. You see? So I think there's like a balance that needs to be struck. So one thing that I would recommend is, so these are a kind of few additional points with exercise addiction. So everything that I've said before, that too, but here are a few kind of tricky tricks that you can use as well. So number one, you can like review your week in advance and see when you want to exercise, and you can put it in your diary as like an optional rather than a meet-in. I know that people will say in like gym culture, like pretend that your exercise time is like a meet-in. Don't do that when you're healing your relationship to exercise, because you need to be more flexible with it than that. So have it as like an option. So maybe like you say, okay, what's my week looking like? Okay, maybe I could like do a class then, or I could do a video then or whatever, or go for a walk then. Always have it be optional and never have it be like, this is a meet-in, this is set. And then what you can do, maybe like an hour or two before you're meant to exercise, check in. Do I have enough energy? Do I need something to eat before this? Do I feel like this, or do I want to do something else? And the something else that you could do would maybe be something else that makes you feel good. So it could be like watching a film, self-care. It could be cleaning something. It could be like little jobs you need to do, right? It could be something else. Another way is to almost kind of commit to yourself how long you're going to exercise before you do it. So like some of my clients, let's say they need to limit their runs to 15 minutes, right? Just an example. They create a playlist that's like 10 minutes so that by the time that playlist is over, they know, okay, I've got like a few minutes to cool down and then I'm done. And it's almost like a commitment to themselves, right? Hopefully some of these were helpful. And just two quick bits that I wanted to mention that I didn't yet. Number one is if you're in recovery from disordered eating, or especially like hypothalamic amenorrhea as well, if you're in recovery from anything really, most of the time, like 99% of the time, the best thing and the healthiest thing that you can do is to fully rest. And like I said, I know that like it's not really like the standard health advice, because most of that is like move more, do more. The healthiest thing you can do is rest and let your body heal. And number two, you know, make sure before you engage in any sort of exercise strategies or recommendations, make sure you chat with whoever's helping you with your recovery. So it might be your therapist, your doctor, your dietitian, nutritionist, your coach, whoever is helping you with it. And make sure you chat with them about before you make any changes. Not so much like before you reduce exercise, but maybe before you put any of these tips into practice. Just chat with them to make sure that they, you know, fully agree, because, you know, they probably you know, definitely know me better than you if I don't know you. So I hope that some of these tips were helpful. It's a really big topic, so I hope that I, you know, gave you a bit of insight into some of the things that you could do. I don't think all of them are perfect, right? Like, there's a lot of nuance in some of these things, and I'm sure I've missed out on some that could be really helpful. So I hope there's something in here that could help you. Please do get in touch with me if you need more clarity on any of these, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye bye.